My friend invited me back to California again, and at first I thought I couldn't possibly come. But I had a friend in Belfast who was coming to California, and he said that he would travel with me. And he did, and we talked Christian Science all the way there. And immediately I came back here, and I felt so loved and so wanted and so needed that it has done wonders for me. There's still a little problem with my walking, but I know that God takes us all the way. And I know that Paul had a thorn in his flesh, but it never stopped him preaching and talking and carrying on his ministry. So it can't stop me either. So I just wanted you all to know that, because it comes from me and from nobody else. The last thing that I would like to talk about is the problems that are in our church. Are we going to make them a stumbling block or a stepping stone? If we, each of us, worked like we'd never worked before, if we prayed like we'd never prayed before, instead of believing all the rumors we hear, all the gossip we hear, and disliking people and wondering why they're doing such things and ridiculing everything, instead of doing that, if we could really, really pray for each other. Because Jesus said that we have to forgive our enemies. We have to love our enemies in order that we become the children of God. So if you and I are trying to make a demonstration for a physical problem or any other kind of a problem, and we don't seem to be getting answers, it's probably because we're not including everyone in our prayers. That includes our so-called enemies, or those that we don't like. Do we know that they're all God's children too? Each and every one of them? And in Mrs. Eddy's lovely article on Love Your Enemies, which I love so much, she said, "Who is thine enemy that thou shouldst love him? Is it a creature or a thing outside thine own creation? Simply count your enemy to be that which defies, defaces, and dethrones the Christ image that you should reflect." Now, when we see an enemy or someone that we don't like, well, we're defacing the Christ image that we want to reflect ourselves by doing that. So we're harming ourselves. She goes on to say, "Whatever purifies, sanctifies, and consecrates human life is not an enemy, however much we suffer in the process." Whatever purifies, sanctifies, and consecrates human life is not an enemy, however much we suffer in the process. Shakespeare writes, "Sweet are the uses of adversity." And Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, Mrs. Eddy says, she told us how Jesus healed. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where mortal man appears to mortals. And this correct view of man healed the sick. Well, that doesn't just mean a correct view of me or of you, but a correct view of our so-called enemies. Because the only way we can heal in Christian Science is with love. That alone has power. So if we really pray for the people that we seem to think are doing wrong things, if we really, really prayed for them, that will do more for them, and most important for us, than anything else. She goes on to say, we have no enemies. Whatever envy, hatred, revenge, the most remorseless motives that govern mortal mind, whatever these try to do, shall work together for good to them that love God. Why? Because he has called his own, armed them, equipped them, and furnished them defenses impregnable. Their God will not let them be lost. And if they fall, they shall rise again, stronger than before the fall. Stronger than before the stumble. The good cannot lose their God, their help in times of trouble. If they mistake the divine command, they will recover it, countermand their order, retrace their steps, and reinstate his orders, more assured to press on safely. The best lesson of their lives is gained by crossing swords with temptation, with fear, and the besetments of evil, insomuch as they thereby have tried their strength and proven it, insomuch as they have found their strength made perfect in weakness, and their fear is self-immolated. Now, I think in a previous talk, I may have told you this story, but it's worth repeating again. Many years ago, when I first became a practitioner, lots of people were coming to me and telling me stories about a teacher of Christian Science who had passed on, and the things that she'd done which they thought were so awful. And I unfortunately took it all in. I drank it all in. And I became incensed with anger against this person, although she was no longer with us. And I remember thinking, I wish I could go to Boston and talk this over with some people there and tell them the things that this woman has done in the name of Christian Science. And it was bothering me so much that it was coming between me and my sleep. And this must have went on for about a year. And then one night, I had a call from someone in England who had a very serious physical problem. She had a job interview in London the next day, and she didn't know how she was going to make it. And she asked me to pray for her. And I began to pray. I told her to call me back in half an hour. She called me back in half an hour, and she said she was worse. And I prayed on, asked her to call me in half an hour again. She said she was much worse. It was the next half hour. And I remember getting on my knees and saying, dear God, what is it that I need to learn through this experience? And the thought came to me, love your enemies. And I immediately thought of this woman. And I thought, well, I couldn't love the things that she's done, the things that are so very wrong, the people that she's hurt in the past. I couldn't forgive that. But the thought came to me, if ye would be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And I wanted to see myself as a child of God. I wanted to see this young woman I'd been asked to help as a child of God. So I had to love this woman. And I began by saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. Although I couldn't feel it at that moment. But I went on saying, I forgive you for this thing, I forgive you for the other thing, I forgive you. And suddenly, I was able to see that that woman stood alone. There weren't many people to help her or assist her because she was a teacher. People looked up to her and expected all the answers from her. And this was nothing but mental malpractice. And I thought, if I had passed on and people were saying those things about me, what would I like to happen? And the answer came, I would like them to forgive me. And I said to this woman, I do forgive you. I really do forgive you. And I pray that God will forgive me for judging you so harshly.